26th head football coach of this great institution. Ladies and gentlemen, our new head football coach, Mel Tucker.
Our team, we will be physical.
Wilkins again gives to Benjamin. Hit and drop to the backfield. Mustafa Johnson shooting through for Colorado.
Sometimes you just know. And I know that the young men in that room, they're hungry.
An interception thrown by Martinez. It's picked off by guess who? Nate Landman.
I've never been in a game, as a player or a coach, that we weren't expected to win.
Blitz from Nebraska. Montez takes a shot. Drops it in to Chanel. Touchdown.
All right, so welcome to the first episode of the Buff Stuff Pod. That's a working title. Chase and I just came up with it about 5 seconds before we started this.
Literally 5 seconds.
So real quick, Chase, I'll let you get started, kind of give yourself an intro.
All right, my name's Chase Anderson, CU alumni, currently out in California. Don't get a lot of opportunity to see the Buffs in live action anymore, but you know, I get most of my Buff conversation, most of my Buff fix out from talking to you, Brett, and I think that's kind of part of why we're here now.
Yeah, my name's Brett Magana. I'm also a CU alumni, trying to get Chase to move to back to Denver. he's a firefighter, since he didn't mention that. He's a firefighter. We're trying to get him to work. Oh, I think he applied to Aurora.
I guess that's important. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're trying to get him back here. But for now, I think this will have to do. We're going to get him out for at least one game this year, hopefully. But I'm a CU
Fingers
alum.
Fingers crossed.
Yep. I'm a CU alum. I graduated in 2017 with Chase. I actually grew up a CU fan. My dad went to school here. He grew up here. My older sister went to school here. My younger sister's now going to CU. So we're pretty much a CU family through and through. But yeah, other than that, just both diehard CU fans. Unfortunately, I think Chase is like really the only other like big time fan that I know out of my friend group.
Yeah, I mean, you know, our buddies are fans for sure. But yeah. I think we're the two biggest probably. Yeah, at least for the football team.
Exactly. I think if I said Tyson Summers, I don't think anybody else would know who that is.
No, probably not.
All right, but yeah, so to get started, I think we're just going to kind of go over what we were initially thinking of Mel Tucker and the staff and everything. So I guess just to start, my first impression of Mel Tucker, I mean, I didn't know who he was really before his name started floating around with the rumors. I don't know if you had any idea who he was.
You know, honestly, when they were going through head coaching options, I didn't even hear him as an option for a while. So he kind of surprised me. I did most of my learning about who he was after they actually hired him.
Yeah. I mean, because I thought initially, I think Ryan Day was kind of floated around a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
yeah.
I was pretty excited about that, but it wasn't a surprise when he stayed at Ohio State. And then Mel Tucker's name kind of came up. And once I started looking into him, I mean, the guy has a hell of a resume.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you look through his past, I mean, I know he's coached for Nick Saban three separate times, or is it two separate times?
I think he was with Saban originally, and then he followed him to LSU, and then he left, and then he came back with Alabama. I'm pretty sure that's.
And then he coached under Jim Tressel. Mm-hmm. He's been in the NFL as a D coordinator, as a head, well, an interim head coach in the NFL. So I mean, the guy has a hell of a resume. I'm kind of surprised that this is maybe his first go around as a college head coach.
Yeah, he said something, I think, a little bit after he was hired, that he had the opportunities, but that it was important for him to pick the right one. So I guess CU just looked like the right one.
Yeah, I heard, I can't remember where I heard this, but I heard like a rumor that when he was interviewed by Rick George and Lance Carl in his home, they came in and there was like a CU flag draped over the fireplace. And so I think he was pretty excited about this when it came about. But, you know, I mean, I'm excited about it. I think, you know, he's a completely different coach than McIntyre was. And
definitely seems to have a different mentality for sure.
Yeah, like, I mean, I love Mac for what he did. Like, we were a complete dumpster fire when he got here. And, then, you know, he brought us out of that. I mean, we had the 2016 season, and I think he just wasn't, you know, the guy to get to the next level necessarily. And I think hopefully Tucker, you know, with all the experience he's got in the SEC and the NFL with all these great coaches, I think he's kind of the guy that can take that next step.
Yeah, I think that's part of my kind of first impressions are he definitely seems like he's, you know, he says all the right things. He kind of has the right energy that he brings, you know, all this stuff that you could really even look at for before a season starts. So I think now it's just kind of, you know, he's talked the talk and he's portrayed himself well, but we'll see how the team actually does.
I just kind of wanted to go the differences between the last staff and this staff. I think first and foremost, I mean, he said it a million times, they're going to be a physical football team.
Right.
And I went to the open practice, not last week and the weekend before. And I mean, you could just tell these guys were, it was a different animal out there. I don't know if you heard about, or maybe it was on Twitter, the Josh Allen hit. Definitely wasn't a great idea since it was a thud, but he just completely popped Josiah Davis and his helmet flew off. I mean, these guys are just physical, and it's kind of different from what we've seen before where, I don't know, like not to bash on the last staff, but it seems like, you know, the physicality factor wasn't quite there all the time.
Yeah, I think that there are definitely some things with the last staff. And I mean, like you said, you know, all respect to Coach Mack and his staff, because I think when we first got to see you, what, they win like two games?
Yeah.
One game, something
I think,
like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I think the year we got there in 2013. 2012, they had won two years under Embry.
Right. They lost to CSU one of the years that we were there, which was devastating. So he really brought us from literally nothing to relevance. That said, I definitely think there's some pretty obvious differences with how this is gonna run. I mean, let's see. Both the guys I know, both Johnson and Summers were guys that worked with Mel Tucker, or at least close to him. I mean, with the quality control guys from Georgia.
Yep.
I know Johnson. I don't know if you saw this, but Jake Fromm, the quarterback of Georgia, at one point said that Jay Johnson was like the unsung hero of Georgia football. So. It'll be interesting to see what he can do. I know he's had some offensive coordinator experience before, but I don't know. Personally, I'm just excited to see, hopefully, fingers crossed, a lot less of the, you know, swing passes and screens for guys like every other play and
throwing the horizontal
passing. So much of the horizontal passing. I would love to see some, you know, intermediate passing stuff. That would be awesome. I don't know. I think there's definitely some room for improvement there, some things that could change that could really, really capitalize on some of what we're going to talk about later, but some of the offensive weapons that the team has.
Yeah, and so like I said, at the open practice, and then just from what I've seen, looking up kind of what Johnson did at Minnesota and then at Louisiana Lafayette, he runs a ton of pistol, which I don't know why, but I'm really intrigued by it. I mean, it's not very commonly run. I remember, like, the person that I think of off the top of my head when I think of the pistol offense is Nevada when Colin Kaepernick was there.
Right, right.
And that offense was insane, and obviously a lot of that has to do with Kaepernick.
Sure,
but
yeah.
I love the pistol, and when I was at that open practice, it was probably, you know, somewhere between 60 to 70% pistol, and I might be overestimating. It just seemed like it really popped out to me, but I'm excited for that. And I think one of the things we saw in practice was they're running a bit more across the middle of the field. It seems like kind of in the 5 years past, especially without the tight end really being utilized, that the middle of the field was kind of non-existent for this offense.
Yeah, definitely seems that way. I mean, I think that'll be interesting. I don't know, you know, everything with the tight end. They've talked a lot about, like, oh, we've got new tight ends. We're going to use the tight end more. But I just feel like, you know, we don't really know what that looks like yet. So that will be interesting to see. It'll be interesting to monitor how they actually use those. I forget the numbers exactly, but there's some pretty ridiculous numbers about, like, how little we've passed to tight ends in the last couple
of years.
I know
one of them over the last 3 years, 18 catches.
Right. Okay.
I think that's correct. 18 catches over 3 years, which is ridiculously bad, because tight ends just in general just create mismatches, because especially if you can get somebody that's, you know, like Derrion Jones, who if he could break out this year, I mean, he's a 6'5", probably 6'6", almost 240-pound guy, but he's athletic and he's pretty quick. I mean, that's just a mismatch for anybody.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think one of the other things that'll do too is I feel like they were using Visca a lot to block in situations where you would use a tight end, and so he's not going downfield, and that's just, like, it seems like a complete waste.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason he should be blocking when there are other guys running routes.
Yeah, I mean, I know he's huge, but come on. And, I think there's definitely things that, that with the offense last year, you know, they started out so hot, but it just seemed like they didn't adapt really as time went on, and it caused some problems. So
yeah, and I think a major part of that was Visca kind of got hurt, in that game. Right. I think he got hurt a little bit in the Nebraska game, and then USC kind of figured out our offense, and then Chev didn't really know how to, like, you know, adjust from there. Right. Once the horizontal passing game wasn't really working anymore, and Visca was pretty much, you know, done from that point on as far as contributing meaningful snaps because he was so hurt.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, to his credit, he still put up ridiculous numbers, but I'm sure that was tough. That was actually, speaking of Chev, as far as staff goes, keeping him on for recruiting at least seems like it's been a big deal. I think that's, like, to kind of go away from the offense for a little bit here. But
yeah.
I think, speaking of Coach Chev, I think his offense, for as much as he did a good job of getting LaVisca the ball as much as possible, I feel like there are some issues with that, and there are some other things like predictability, stuff like that, that he struggled with last year, and I just think he's suited very well for being this recruiting monster that it seems like he's been, that I would say Tucker seems to have kind of just let him go do his thing almost here early on, at least from all the offers that I've seen that they're throwing out to guys.
Yeah, and I think it kind of shows how much Tucker values recruiting that he named him assistant head coach, whenever Pac-12 Media Days was. And I think a big part of that was because he's been working his ass off on the recruiting trail. And not to say some of the other guys haven't, but I think it's just he's been making the most meaningful contributions in terms of getting commitments and getting out there and, you know, doing work.
Right, agreed. I mean, it's hard to argue with the results of what he's brought in already, but...
Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to get to it a little bit later, but, like, that wide receiver room is unbelievably stacked.
Right, yeah, it is.
I mean, there are 8, 9, possibly 10 guys that could contribute, and they could do pretty well in the Pac-12.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. But, I think, you know, other than that, we kind of mentioned Jay Johnson a little bit with the pistol. I think the other... Well, my most important hire, I think, and the one that I'm most impressed with so far is Coach Cap, the offensive line coach.
Right, yeah.
I mean, and there have been some articles, and I think universally Clayton Adams was kind of dogged by all the fans just because it was pretty bad how the offensive line performed over the time that he was the offensive line coach.
Right.
And, I mean, there have just been some articles that come out with player quotes, and it just kind of sounds like all these players are kind of getting – actual coaching at the position that they need. And I think I saw somewhere Cap was named like one of the top 10 or 15 recruiters in the Pac-12, so like he's obviously doing work out on the trail too. We got that 4-star from Georgia, Jake Ray. I think the offensive line could make a huge jump this year just because they're getting solid coaching, and you know, it's a big upgrade from Coach Adams.
I mean, let's be honest. I don't know that the offensive line could do anything other than upgrade this year, considering how they play, how they were last year.
But, yeah.
Yeah. No, I think you're definitely right. Definitely heard a lot of good things about that, which is good because that, like I said, it was a struggle last year for them, which I think also contributed to that 7-game losing streak to end the season.
Yeah. The offensive line, it sucks because our first game this year is against Colorado State, which, not to dog on them, but that game will give us zero idea of how good the offensive line is. I mean, I remember last year we thought the offensive line was going to dominate because they just pushed around the CSU D line, and then you go down to Nebraska and Lincoln, and I mean, Montez was getting sacked every, or at least hit on every other play.
Yeah, I mean, he was, if you look back at how that went, I mean, oh my goodness, like, he was getting crushed. So.
Yeah, I mean, because I was there in Lincoln, so I didn't realize how bad it was until I rewatched the game, right. The following day, and I mean, he was just getting drilled, and that was, it was really impressive, honestly. That was like a Cepho, like, performance where he just kept getting it and kept getting back up. And then to come back and drop that dime into Visk at the end of the game to win it. I mean, he played like a man that game.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, to see how that thing wrapped up was pretty impressive to see him gut it out like that.
Yeah. About it. And I think over the course of the season, it kind of took its toll on him. And, he started to go back to that first look, kind of almost gun shy in the pocket kind of thing, which... I mean, I don't know if I can really blame him. At some point, if you get hit, 15, 20 times a game, you're not going to want to just sit in the pocket and try and go through your reads.
Yeah, sure. I would. I think that's pretty obvious. Definitely.
Yeah. But, excuse me. I think now kind of just to, go over kind of what we're thinking about the offensive and the defensive starters and then the depth across. Because I think I mentioned this to you a couple weeks back when we were texting. I think aside from the 2016 team, if you take that team out of it, the starters across the board, probably the most talented team that I think we've seen since, 2004?
Yeah, probably somewhere around there. I mean, obviously, 2016 team aside, with the, particularly the defense.
Yeah, I mean, you've got five guys in the NFL? You got Cheeto, Kello, Tedrick, yeah. Josh Tupo. Mm-hmm. There's like five or six guys in the NFL.
Yeah, so that they were pretty stacked. Not to mention just having Jimmy Gilbert was in there, and he was a monster that year. Yeah, they were stacked. But I mean I agree. I think potentially, the wide receivers this year, even when comparing to 2016, wide receivers this year, we had a good receiving group that year, but mm-hmm. Give me Visca, KD, Stanley, Arias, this group of guys, Tony Brown, not to hate on those guys, because Bryce Bobo did some amazing things, and
yep,
and Devin Ross and Shea Fields, those guys were legit, Jay McIntyre, but it just seems like that's an area where they could be a lot better. For as much as that defense was good that year, I feel like the offense could be a serious strength.
Yeah, I mean, I fully expect, at least from what I see now and what I think the defense is going to be like, I fully expect that this offense can win a shootout, just because, I mean, if you look at Steven Montez first and foremost, he's always had that potential, but he's never really hit that ceiling that he really could.
Right.
But, I mean, if you look back to, Cepho's senior year, the 2016 year, 3 years before that, I mean, Cepho was always that guy that he's going to be a leader, he's going to keep fighting, but he never really, took that next step as far as, managing a game and making the plays necessary to win. And then 2016 hits his senior year, and he was just a whole new quarterback. So,
yeah.
You got to hope that Montez, can make some sort of similar step. It doesn't even have to be as dramatic as Cepho's was, but if he can really improve on just running through his reads, I mean, I think this offense could be a very scary one to go up against.
Yeah, I agree completely. I mean, I feel like this is all we've been talking about ever since Montez had that game against Oregon in
Yep.
2016. All it's been is like, this guy has so much potential. He could be great. He has NFL potential. All that stuff. And he started out last year and seemed like he was showing it. And
Yep.
then, yeah, like we already talked about, but things happened and it didn't end up well. But yeah, if he could take that next step this year, I think obviously we're talking about a completely different projection for this team.
Yeah. I mean, Montez really, if he can take that next step, that's going to be the difference between, somewhere around 4 to 6 wins and potentially like 9 wins.
Yeah, definitely.
So I mean, across the schedule's tough. I mean, no one's going to disagree there. The schedule's tough, but
Yeah, we'll get to that. We'll get to that later. But
yeah.
yeah, it is. It's
I
brutal.
mean, he really is the key because Biscuit can only do so much. I mean, you saw last year when he was healthy, he did win those first 5 games for us. I mean,
Yeah.
realistically, without Biscuit, they're probably 2-3, maybe 3-2, if that.
Oh, to start that, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, he's just that talented. When you have somebody like that, he's gonna win you games. But if the guy that's in charge of it all can really take that next step, it's gonna be huge for this season.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, I mean, so yeah, I mean, I think obviously wide receiver, that's the thing that everyone talks about. I mean, Visca's potential, he'll be on Heisman watch lists and things like that. I mean,
Yep.
but he's a wide receiver, so I can't imagine who would win it, especially in a year where, all the quarterback talent that there is out there right now. But
Right.
he'll be up there. KD, I think, he could have a big year this year. There's a lot of talk about, like I said, I've heard a lot about Stanley. There's a ton of chatter about him. A lot of people think Arias is going to be a monster. Maybe not this year, but coming up. They've got a lot of pieces for the wide receivers. Quarterback, obviously Montez. We talked a little bit about the O-line earlier, so we're hoping that that could be better. I feel like it's probably not going to be very hard for them to be better than they were last year.
Yeah, exactly.
Hopefully just a little more continuity. Sounds like they've got a better coaching staff around them, so looking for some improvement there. I think the really interesting position right now is at running back on the
Definitely.
offense, because it sounds like they're going to do some kind of running back by committee approach, at least until maybe someone proves themselves to be kind of a cut above the other guys.
Yeah, I agree.
Some combination of, yeah, Fontenot and Mangum and a couple other guys. I feel like those are the two I hear about the most, but
Yeah, I think as far I mean Mangum, I mean you saw the spring game. I mean he just
yeah.
obviously it was against like twos and threes, which is
Sure.
the depth that we're going to talk about in a second, but I mean he looked amazing in that game. And then when I went to the open practice, like again, he was just like he looked like the most talented running back in the room. Now that doesn't necessarily include how his pass pro looks or like how his
Sure.
route running is, because they didn't do too much of that. But I mean, I think I guess for me, I think if Fontenot can't really step up this year, I think he's gonna have to transfer out because he's gonna be overtaken by Mangum, and Deion Smith is having a really good fall camp as well. And
Right.
I mean, I think when Fontenot, he's what, a redshirt sophomore this year, so this is his third year. He's not a young guy anymore, so he's either got to like take that next step, or I think he's gonna be out of here, just because he's gonna get buried on the depth chart.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. And I mean, that's not to say he very well could
Yeah.
take that step this year. I mean, he definitely seems like, it's kind of funny that, yeah, he's only a what? Well, he's a redshirt sophomore, but still
Yeah.
sophomore, being like the veteran of the group, but that's kind of almost what it feels like. But yeah, a lot of talent. I feel like they'll find someone there. I don't think that's going to be, I mean, I know we've had a couple of 1,000-yard backs, but I don't see that necessarily being a weakness for this team by any means.
Yeah, no, I think, yeah, it's a lot of unproven talent, but you've got to think that one of these three, maybe four guys, if you include Jarek Broussard, is gonna you know, really like shine out. And
right, right. Broussard too, not, yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of people outside of the program are thinking that we're going to be a very one-dimensional, you know, passing team. And if you can shut down Visca, you can shut down the team. But,
right.
You know, kind of like you mentioned, KD Nixon and Dimitri Stanley. I think Stanley in particular will have a huge year because he's people are going to be keying on Visca, and he's just going to be able to move around the slot. But as far as running back goes, I don't think it's going to be as big of an issue as we initially thought. I mean, everything out of camp sounds like, and obviously it could be very well fluff because it's all coaches talking and Neil Welk who's riding for the Buffs. But I mean, for the most part, I think the running back room has got the talent to at least make some noise this year.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely would agree. Let's see, what's the other? Oh, tight ends. You know,
tight ends.
Of course. That's become a topic of conversation now.
Yeah, finally.
Yeah.
I mean, I think right now you've got to think that Jalen Harris, the transfer from Auburn, is going to be, you know, the starter from day one.
Yeah, you got to think that he's there for a very particular reason.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Tucker gets him to come to Boulder if he's not telling him, we're going to use the tight end, you know, you're going to get the ball. Because out of high school, I remember when I found out he was transferring to CU, I went back and looked at his high school tape. I mean, the dude was a decent blocker, but he was a receiving tight end first and foremost.
Right.
And he just wasn't getting that at Auburn, and I think that was a huge reason why he wanted to transfer, and I think that he could really have an impact here.
Yeah, agreed, 100%.
Yeah, and I mean, behind him, you know, you've got Darian Jones, who he struggled with the playbook a lot last year. Hopefully, maybe he's been able to figure that out, especially since it's a completely new playbook.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, it's probably not going to be any easier, but hopefully.
I mean, Brady Russell, who's probably the hardest worker on the team, he's back, and he's a great blocker. I'm very confident in his blocking ability, and I mean, we saw in the Washington game last year, he can catch the ball too.
Yes.
So, I mean, right now it's not like necessarily a position of strength, but I think with, you know, little Fourier coming in next year, and then maybe if we show the tight end can be used actually at CU's offense, maybe we can flip Cole Taylor back from LSU. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see how the future recruiting goes. But definitely for this year, it's something to look out for. See how it's utilized.
Yeah, but yeah. So I mean, the tight end, you know, it's going to be an interesting position to watch, and I think we'll have to keep an eye on that as it goes. But to kind of flip to the defensive side of the ball, this is an interesting unit just because there's a lot of potential talent there, but there's a lot of unproven talent there as well.
Yeah, there's tons of unproven talent. I mean, I feel like every other day I hear about a different guy in the secondary who's playing well, or you know, different safety, different cornerback. I think really you start with the defense, there's a couple of studs, you know. You've got obviously Nate Landman, like linebacker, pretty much one of the top defensive players in the Pac-12 last year.
Definitely.
And then Mustafa Johnson on the line, you know. They've got those two guys who are like proven, probably going to be leaders of that unit this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest is really mostly potential, kind of unproven talent.
Yeah, I think I might throw Delrick Abrams into that mix of proven guys.
Sure,
I mean,
sure.
He obviously Delrick only Abrams had too. 1 year here, but I mean, from what we saw last year when he was healthy, he was a pretty good lockdown corner. He's obviously no Akello or Cheeto, but I mean, he was a very good corner for us last year. And I think, you know, if he takes that next step, he could definitely be a guy that has some NFL potential going forward.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely, absolutely true. I mean, yeah, okay, so we can talk about the cornerbacks. Obviously, Derek Abrams heard a lot of good things about Mekhi Blackman so far.
Yeah, I mean, apparently he's just been a turnover machine in camp. I mean, he's just getting picks left and right, which I don't know if that's necessarily a bad thing against Montez, but...
Right, yeah, I don't know. I don't know who that says more about, but he apparently has been killing it in fall camp, which is good. Honestly, I feel like cornerback is going to be one of those things where they're probably going to need some combination of four or five guys, you know, to really, really step up there.
Yeah.
Between Derek Abrams, Mekhi Blackman, KJ, you know, Chris Miller, those guys.
Mm-hmm. Well, Udofia, and they moved Udofia to safety.
That's right. I forgot about all that.
Yeah. I mean, the problem is if you can find five guys that you can move to corner. I mean, I know that they just mentioned it. I think it was yesterday that Dylan Thomas, that receiver, he's moved to cornerback. They moved.
They moved Tariq a couple Luckett receivers
from receiver to corner. I mean, I think they're just trying to get some stop gaps in there because, I mean, if one or two guys in that cornerback room go down.
Right. And I think, this is kind of touching on the depth conversation, but I feel like that's going to be the big thing for the defense is, if you can just throw Delrick Abrams and Mekhi Blackman out there every time, you know, you're probably good. But if one of those guys gets hurt, then you're looking at, like, some serious drop-off if no one starts to step it up.
Yeah. And, well, the interesting thing about Mekhi Blackman is he was getting a lot of run at the star position in that open practice, which was interesting to me. I mean, he's a little dude. He's like 165 pounds. I mean, I weigh 165 pounds, and I would not be –
you would not want me out on the field trying to tackle these guys.
Obviously, he's a hell of a better athlete than I am. But, I mean, he apparently the star role is a much more of a coverage-heavy role. And I think from what I saw in the open practice, Davion Taylor's having a little bit of –
Right, with issue the coverage,
with
yeah.
assignments and with the coverage detail. But, I mean, if they can put Mekhi Blackman a star and then Chris Miller can kind of step up and be that second corner, then, you know, maybe the pass defense isn't as scary as we think it's going to be. Because right now the safety is also another area of concern.
We can go ahead and start touching on that too.
Yeah, I think, right now it sounds like the ones right now are – Aaron Maddox, and then Mikhail Onu from SMU, the grad transfer. And, I mean, Mikhail Onu, from what I've seen of his film, the dude can hit. I mean, he will light some people up, but pass coverage might not have been one of his strengths. I mean, he was obviously good enough to start at SMU, so he wasn't, like, a terrible pass coverage guy, but he was more of, like, that heavy hitter kind of guy. And... So, I mean, that doesn't necessarily give you a ton of confidence in the over-the-top D, but Aaron Maddox, I mean, if he can, you know, kind of put it together with the mental side of the game, I think he could be a very special safety.
Yeah, I mean, he's another guy that there's been a lot of talk about, but I think you're right. I mean, I think he's honestly probably going to be someone that they just need. They need to step up, you know, and hopefully that pressure brings out the best in him, you know.
Yeah, I mean, but if he doesn't, I mean, I've always been really high on Mark Perry ever since he committed. I mean, he came in college ready. He's like 205 pounds already. If he can pick up the scheme, then I wouldn't be surprised if by, you know, midpoint in the season, he might have taken over one of those starting roles.
Sure. Yeah. He could definitely work his way in there. There is, you know, a lot of opportunity on the defense. That's one thing you could say. You know, there's a lot of spots where guys could really step in and make a name for themselves.
Yeah, and I think this staff particularly will. I mean, they aren't afraid to play the younger guy. I know that was kind of McIntyre was very set in his ways with the guys that he trusted and the guys that he knew in the system. Aside from when he first got there, you know, and he had to throw like Cepho and everybody into the fire, but. After he had those like established juniors and seniors, he kind of stuck with them. I don't think that's going to be a point of contention with this staff at all.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, from everything that they've said, it's very much, you know, whoever gives them the best opportunity to win games, that's who they're going with.
Yeah, I agree. But then, I mean, we kind of touched on linebacker, so I guess we can kind of breeze over that quickly since that one's really not an area of concern. But obviously, you've got Nate Landman. I think... You know, at the other inside linebacker spot, the jackbacker, I think that either Josh Allen or John Van Diest is going to be the guy that takes that position, and I'm very comfortable with either of those guys playing that across from Nate Landman.
I was going to say, between the two of them, I think, you know, not to hate on Rick Gamboa, he did a lot of good things, but I just think he was limited by, you know, his athleticism and stuff, and I think either of those two guys will kind of end up being an upgrade over there.
Yeah, I think it'll definitely be an upgrade. Like, I mean, I think, you know, like you said, Gamboa, like, he was able to be in the right spot, but he was not necessarily always there at the right time just because he wasn't quick enough, he wasn't fast enough. Right. And I think that both of those guys have the athleticism to do it. And if you pair them with Nate Landman, another year older, I think that, you know, if the line, which we're going to get to in a second, can kind of hold up the blockers, I think that linebacking crew is going to just be a complete disruptive force, because on the inside you've got those two, or one of two of those three, and then on the outside you're going to have Carson Wells. He was, he showed at the end of last year he can be a pretty dominant pass rusher, and then, you know, on the other side, whether it's the star and Mekhi or Davion Taylor,
right?
Then you've got someone like Alex Changham, or you've got maybe NJ or Nuamotu. I can never say that right.
Yeah, but yeah, good luck with
Fowler.
That.
Fowler. Yeah. So I mean, I think the linebackers across the board are going to be pretty stout this year.
Yeah, I think it should be a strength. Definitely, I think it's probably going to be one of the more consistent parts of the whole defensive unit for sure.
Yeah, and then, you know, but right in front of them is you got the defensive line, which you kind of mentioned, Mustafa Johnson. So he obviously, I mean, he's going to be, I think, all Pac-12 this year. I think he's going to be able to hold down his side of the ball. And then you kind of have some more unknown, where you've got Jalen Sammy, who the last staff and this staff are both really high on. The last staff said he's going to be an NFL guy. So, I mean, if he has that talent, I mean, I'm not worried at all, but it's all, I mean, he hasn't yet to play any meaningful snaps yet.
I mean, you know, more potential, just like what we've been talking about. It's just more potential. We'll see how it pans out. But yeah, I mean, you know, Mustafa Johnson is a stud, so we've at least got that.
Yeah, and then on the other side of the DN, you've got, it's probably going to be Terrence Lang. Is my guess.
Right, yeah, that's, I feel like that's how it seems it's leaning right now, is it's going to be Lang, but.
And I say that because I don't think there's really anybody else that's kind of even got a shot, I guess, of taking that position from him. I guess you've got Jeremiah Doss and Janaz Jordan, but I think Janaz Jordan's more of an interior guy. I don't know if he could be an edge guy like that, but, I mean, he looks like a football player. Have you ever seen Terrence Lang in person? Like, he is a big, big dude. But I know last year he was mostly a third down pass rush kind of guy, but all the reports, again, they all could be fluff, but all the reports out of camp are that he's becoming a full, you know, every down DN instead of just a third down guy.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think, obviously, going over this is all projection. You know, we're speculating, just the two of us. But going by off of fall camp, it seems like he's really starting to step into that role, which is good. Because if we could have, I mean, with the linebacking group that we have, seems like it's solid. If the defensive line could be good, you know, it could take the pressure off those cornerbacks who are pretty much unproven, you know.
Yeah, I mean, if you can get a heavy pass rush going, I mean, then the pass coverage becomes less of an issue if they don't have as much time to sit back there. I mean, there were some times last year where, especially, I remember against Washington State, it was very blatant where he was just sitting back there for you know, 7-8 seconds before he had to actually move around. So.
Oh, God, yeah. Gardner Minshew, nightmares.
Yeah, I don't ever want to see that mustache ever again.
No, he had a rude awakening in his NFL preseason game the other day. Did you see that?
I did not see that.
Oh, my
God,
he got blown up. And all I could think about was, man, the Buffs could never touch that guy.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look this up. I'm going to have to look this up after we finish this.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think, you know, across the board, I think we kind of went through everybody. And then the only other guys left, which I think this is another area of strength, which I think it's very underestimated, is our specialists. I think Alex Kinney, coming back after he broke his collarbone, I mean, that guy has a chance to win the Ray Guy, or at least be in contention for winning the Ray Guy Award.
Yeah.
And then a healthy Stefano, I mean, we've seen that guy when he was healthy. He can boot it, and he's pretty accurate. Obviously, he was pretty much hurt from the Nebraska game on, so he didn't have a great season. But I think if he can stay healthy, I think he'll be a very, you know, a very solid kicker, and I think he'll be somebody we're comfortable with out there.
Yeah, I mean, how good does that feel to say that, oh man, our specialists are a point of strength for us finally.
Yeah, I think it's been a long time. Oh, I'm thinking, God, like back to like Oh, gosh. I don't even know when the last time I was comfortable with our specialist was.
Yeah, so fingers crossed those guys stay healthy. You know, we have had that happen a couple of times where it looked good and then they got hurt and then the guy behind them just could not keep it up. So
Yeah.
hoping for the best for them, but I think you're right. If they can get a full season in, I think both of them are going to prove to be very, very good.
Yep. All right. And then, going forward, I think now we kind of just wanted to get through just like a game by game, pretty quick, because we're already 40 minutes in here. But
Yeah.
game by game, overview, I think both of us very comfortable with saying CSU should be a win and a very comfortable win at that. I mean, they lost a ton last year and they were bad last year.
Yeah, I mean that should be a blowout.
Yep.
I think anything outside, like if that's a close game, I think it's gonna feel uncomfortable. So,
Yeah.
yeah, they should be able to handle them.
I think if it is a close game, I'll only really be comfortable with it if, you can tell that we have the talent and we're dominating. It's just there may be some scheme mess ups, or
Sure.
like some guys aren't quite comfortable with the offense yet, or it's their first time in a real live game with it. So
First game jitters. Yeah.
yeah, I mean, I think like we said, that should be a comfortable win. So I'm not too worried about that. Then, right after that, there's a big one with the Nebraska. I almost said something inappropriate. The Nebraska Cornhuskers coming into town.
Yeah.
I think that one will be very telling for how the season's going to go.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we touched on that not that long ago. We were texting back and forth about it, but I definitely think Nebraska is a team that, you know, they kind of have the hype train rolling right now for them between Adrian Martinez and Scott Frost, and I think that'll be a good measuring stick. I'm hoping, I mean, obviously hoping for the win there, but I think it's going to be interesting to see how they handle those guys. I think it's going to have to be a big game from guys like Nate Landman on that defense to see if they can keep Martinez in check.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you mentioned that the hype train is going. I mean, I think that they're going to be very good in their second year under Scott Frost, but I think these predictions of them winning the Big Ten West and, potentially winning the Big Ten overall, I think are just completely ludicrous. I mean, that defense was absolutely garbage last year, and they lost like 7 of their 8 leading tacklers. So, I mean, I don't know if they think Martinez can just score 60 points a game, but I mean, people were dropping points on them left and right last year, and so I don't think that them winning the Big Ten is even remotely realistic.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think obviously they're looking like they're going to be better than last year, how they ended up. But I agree. I think all the predictions of, I think I saw something the other day that said Martinez is like a possible Heisman guy, and I don't see that kind of stuff. I mean,
Yeah. No, I mean,
better
you got to
year,
be in the
but
national conversation to be a Heisman guy, and they're not going to
no.
be.
So I think it'll be a good measuring stick. Hoping they can pull that one out.
Yeah, I mean, if the offensive line can do something against the Nebraska defensive line instead of letting them just dominate Montez like they did last year, I think that'll be a very good setup for the rest of the season. And then, we just got to see how well I think the DNs, I mean, Mustafa Johnson, and then hopefully Terrence Lang, and then, I think Carson Wells and the star backer, I think will be able to do a decent job of containing Martinez when he's running those read options. But yeah, like you said, it'll be a good measuring stick for going forward on the season.
Yeah, I think it is what it is. Always want to beat Nebraska.
Yep.
Yeah, so let's see. After Nebraska, after that game, it should be rocking, by the way, in
Oh,
Boulder.
it's I think it's gonna be a completely sold out game. Hopefully the keep the red out movement actually worked and it's not half red people, but
Half, yeah, I know. Seriously, hopefully they can. It's nationally televised. That could be a big game for the Buffs.
yep. All right, and then next game going forward, Air Force. This one I kind of view it similar to Colorado State. I know a lot of guys on all Buffs are freaking out because it's an option offense, but I mean Mel Tucker came from Georgia where they defended against Georgia Tech every single year, and I mean they're just straight up a less talented team than CU. It's not, I mean, it's not even, I don't, to me it's not really a worry at all.
Yeah, I mean, you would like to think that the new staff is going to be able to come in and handle that, for sure. Definitely more talented. I wouldn't be too surprised if Air Force maybe plays it tough for a little while there, but yeah. I do think the talent will win out in the end.
Yeah, and I guess worst case scenario, I can see them, you know, scoring quite a bit on our defense, but there's no way that they're going to outscore Montez, LaVisca, KD. You know, there's just no way.
No, I can't imagine.
Yeah. All right, well then, so going to the next one, Arizona State. So that one's in Tempe in late September. That's going to be a hot game.
Yeah, I feel like Arizona State's been pretty good at ASU of late.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think they've had a lot of turnover. The problem with the South is it is kind of very up in the air, you know. So
yep.
I'd like to think that they have a good shot at that one. Honestly, I'd like to think the Buffs have a pretty good shot at starting the season 4 or even the dreaded 5-0.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and I mean, I just saw, I think it was yesterday or maybe a couple days ago, Arizona State actually named Jaden Daniels their 4-star freshman, their starting quarterback. And so I'd like to think that, you know, even though it's going to be 4 games in, or might be 5 because they have a week 0 game. I'm not sure what their schedule looks like if they have a bye.
Right.
You know, that's something that I think could be in our favor, is that he's still, you know, getting used to playing at the college level. But he also seems like a very talented kid, so I'm not necessarily confident that it's going to be easy because he's a true freshman.
No, I mean, honestly, almost feels like a toss-up right now. But hopefully for them, for the Buff's sake, he'll have some growing pains that he has to get through.
Yeah. And then, so following that, you know, we've got Arizona. I think Arizona's not, I don't think they're going to be anything decent. I mean, I think they'll be able to put up a good game against the Buffs, but this is one of the games that I'm fairly confident in CU winning. A lot of these games on the schedule are 50-50s or maybe leaning a little bit against the Buffs, but I think Arizona's one that I'm pretty confident that they can beat them.
Yeah, I agree. I think, honestly, Tate has pretty much dominated the Buffs we were his breakout, you know, so.
Yep. 2 years in a row, yeah, he's dominated.
Yeah, he's pretty much kicked the hell out of us 2 straight years. So hopefully, you know, the new staff, yeah, maybe they can work something up to make sure that doesn't happen, because I will say it seemed like Coach Mack and his guys had a really tough time with that. But I think you're right. I mean, you know, they had their struggles last year. I don't really know why it would be any different this year. I haven't really seen or heard anything that should make a difference. They're at home, you know. Even if Tate puts up a lot of points, it's not like the Arizona defense was stout. So.
Right. I mean, I know the defense last year is pretty young, so obviously there's probably going to improve a little bit, but I don't know. It's just something. I mean, obviously J.J. Taylor is a great running back, but we didn't even mention Eno Benjamin in Arizona State. He's going to be, I think, the real issue with that game.
That's true.
You know, J.J. Taylor's a good back. It's another one of those things where I can't see Khalil Tate dominating the CU defense like he has the last 2 years, just because, you know, I think with Tucker at head coach and Tyson Summers, who I think is kind of like he was for a while like the boy wonder getting a head coaching job at like 36 or whatever.
Right.
I don't think that they're going to allow Khalil Tate to just completely take over the game like that. So, and that one's in Boulder. So, I mean, it's just, I think that one's going to be a Buffs win. Right.
That one's in Boulder. We've got a bye the week before. I mean, I don't know. I would like to think that they can take care of business.
I would too. And then following week, we've got one at Oregon. Just to be frank, I don't think that CU has a good shot here. I think of all the games that they have a chance at an upset at, I think Oregon is the least likely, because it's at Oregon. You know, if Oregon can win that game against, is it Auburn that they've got a game against?
Yeah.
I mean, if they can win that game against Auburn, they're going to be a very nationally prominent team. You've got Justin Herbert. The problem is they don't have any receivers, but I mean, Oregon, I mean, just look at their recruiting classes. They've got the talent somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, Oregon just seems like that team who, even if they're going to have deficiencies, they're going to figure it out, you know. And
yep.
And Herbert obviously is a big deal right now. Another guy who's, you know, got some Heisman buzz around him and stuff. I mean, when I was writing out my, when I was taking some notes on this and trying to do my own season breakdown, next to at Oregon, I put ouch. So
yeah,
you know, I think this would be a tough one. Call it an absolute shocker if they won it. You know, I hope they put up a good fight, but that's gonna be a tough one.
Yeah, I'm with you there. So I think we're both kind of on the same page with Oregon. Washington State is one that when I was kind of running through this on my side, I'm sure you probably had something similar. I was really 50-50 on this because I just don't know. I never really know what to expect with a Mike Leach led team.
Right. Yeah. No. Yeah. Exactly. 100% agree.
I mean, because they got that guy from what was it? Was it Eastern Washington? Maybe.
I wish I could remember. But yeah, they
Gage Jabrud.
Yeah, Gage. That's it. Gage Jabrud.
I mean, there's a chance that he could be another Gardner Minshew, because I mean it's the same kind of thing. He came from a lower tiered school and just completely lit up pretty much the country. But I don't think that there's ever going to be an issue with offense at Washington State, no matter who the quarterback is. The thing I don't know is I just don't know how good their defense is going to be, and I think that's what's going to be the difference between this game, is if their defense is so bad that they can't stop the CU offense, then I think that that's a game that the shootout could go CU's favor.
Yeah, I think, you know, this was a tough one. I think if it was at Folsom, I would feel better about it. I think Gardner Minshew and what Washington State did last year, I don't see them really being at the same level, but you're right. You never know. Mike Leach coached team, the quarterback could end up just being another guy who puts up crazy numbers. I'm with you. I think Washington State's a bit of a question mark right now. I'm sure, you know, by then we'll know if it's something that the Buffs really have a shot at. It's another one of those games that almost feels a little 50-50, depending on whether or not their new quarterback actually shows out.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. So, following week after that, this is a big one for me. I mean, I think it's a big one in general, but especially for all the CU fans that are really aware of this, that CU's obviously never beaten USC.
Oh, God, I know.
This one, October 25th, it's a Friday night game. This one's going to be on ESPN2, so nationally televised in Boulder. I think if there's any year that CU really has to beat USC, it's got to be this year. It's got to be.
Oh, God. Yeah, I mean, I know that it is USC, but I feel like the amount of national attention they get is just, I don't know. They haven't done anything to really back it up recently, as much as
no.
CU hasn't been able to beat them. But I'm with you. I mean, they have this game at Folsom. I feel like this is as good of a shot as any to finally beat these guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime you've got a Clay Helton-led team, I think you have a chance to beat them.
Agreed.
I mean, who knows? Graham Harrell could come in and just be like a complete game changer for them, that offensive coordinator. But I don't see it. I don't see them being, you know, I don't see them winning the South. I think Utah's got the clear lead for that, and then everybody else is behind them.
Yeah.
I think this has got to be the year that you beat them. And if you don't beat them this year, it's going to be hard to find a year you can beat them without some luck going forward. Because, you know, once they get a good coach in there, they're going to recruit the way USC should recruit, and they're going to win games.
Right, yeah. Agreed. I mean, I know there's been a lot of talk about how their receiving core could be, you know, up there with ours as far as like one of the best in the Pac-12, one of the better receiving cores in the country. Yeah. So I think that'll be an interesting matchup for our secondary. You know, who knows what they'll look like by then, but I'm hoping for that one. I think you're right. I think this is their best shot at them.
Yep. So that one's to be an interesting game. And then the following week at UCLA, I don't see UCLA being a ton better than they were last year. I mean, they still didn't have a great recruiting class, you know. I think Chip Kelly has the chance to do it. Like, he's not going to do anything like he did at Oregon. I think that, you know, he was revolutionary at that time, and now it's kind of all caught up to him.
But right, right.
I think CU handled UCLA pretty easily last year, and I think this game could be potentially closer, but I still think this one's going to be a CU win.
Yeah, I agree. I think UCLA, again, is another team that they kind of get the benefit of the doubt, I feel like, just for being in Los Angeles. But, I'm with you. I don't see them being a lot better than they were last year. I mean, it is at UCLA, so, you know, that's kind of a bummer. But I like the Buffs' chances in that one.
I do, too. Then November 9th is the homecoming game. It's Stanford in Boulder. I think this one is, I mean, I think I'm going to call it an upset now, but when that time comes in the season, I don't think it's going to be considered an upset if CU were to win this game, just because, I mean, obviously Stanford has KJ Costello, but he lost all of his receivers. You know, they don't have Bryce Love. I have no idea what the defense is going to look like, but I don't see them being, you know, really a North contender, so I can't imagine that they're going to be a high-riding team by the time they come into Boulder.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely kind of had this one marked as like, okay, here's an opportunity for the Buffs. I do think, I'm trying to remember, I want to say their schedule leading up to the game is pretty easy.
I think they have two byes,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, so I think that'll be interesting. I don't know if that'll play into the Buffs' favor or if it'll be in Stanford's favor, you know, the whole rest versus rust idea and all that stuff. But I think you're right. I think Stanford will be a definite opportunity for them to get a big win at home that, you know, they haven't really gotten in the past.
Yeah. So that one should be an interesting one to watch. Then the next week is, again, in Boulder. It's against Washington. This one I'm excited for because, I mean, they played Washington pretty close in Seattle last year. The only thing is they now have a potential quarterback that's actually, you know, decent.
Not throwing
for
ducks
as long as he was
the
there
field,
was
maybe?
Yeah. I mean, that guy could not, he had zero arm strength and he made some boneheaded plays. So I mean, if Jacob Eason,
they still worked us. But
if Jacob Eason can be the real deal, then I don't really see CU having a chance here. But if he's, you know, just a run of the mill average quarterback, just another guy, you know, I think since this one's in Boulder, potentially at this point, CU's fighting for bowl eligibility if they don't have it yet. I think that this could be a game where, you know, Washington might be on an upset alert.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, the Washington thing is tough for me. I kind of feel like, for as much as they have lost people at some key positions, you know, I just think they've shown to be good at being able to just retool at whatever they need.
Especially on the defensive secondary.
Yeah, especially in the defensive secondary. So, you know, and I think it is one of those games where you're right, the Buffs should be fighting for bowl eligibility, but, you know, hopefully that's not like last year, coming off of losing a couple of games in a row. You know, I'd like to think Mel Tucker and his new staff, they're going to be better about kind of keeping them mentally in a good place to not just totally break down at the end of the year like it felt like they did. But I think this would be a tough one for him. I definitely lean towards Washington on this one, barring, like you said, I mean, if their new quarterback comes in here and he's not, you know, anything special, you never know.
Right, and I think, I'm definitely leaning Washington here, but, yeah, I mean, it all depends on really how Jacob Eason comes in and plays. So that'll be another fun one to watch, especially being in Boulder. And then last game of the season, November 30th at Utah. I think I'm higher on Utah than a lot of people are. I think most people think that Utah is, you know, just getting some hype that they probably don't know how to handle, but, I mean, their defensive line is one of the best in the country. They've got both their quarterback and running back returning, even though, I mean, I know Zach Moss like fell off of his bunk bed and broke and tore his ACL or something. So it shouldn't be, unless barring some freak injury, him and I'm blanking on his name right now, the quarterback.
Hundley?
I don't know why I'm blanking. Maybe that's a bad sign for them. But
yeah, that's true.
I mean, I think that they're going to...
It's Hundley, right?
Hundley, thank you.
Yeah.
Tyler Hundley. I think that they're... I don't really see CU having much of a shot in this game because I think that D-line, even if the CU offensive line is improved, I don't see them having any chance of containing those guys. And that defense is always stout behind them. So this one for me is almost a sure loss.
Yeah, I agree. I think if of all the games on the schedule, it's probably the one that I'm the most, yeah, just penciling in a surefire loss. I mean, between that, at Utah and at Oregon, I think those two games are probably the toughest on the Buff schedule for sure.
Yep. So, you know, after that, obviously, Pac-12 championship, CU wins that one, then they're on to the college football playoff. So, should be an interesting one, but,
Right.
Overall, I mean, I don't know, I don't think we haven't really discussed what our actual predictions for the season are. I know, for me, I've got the Buffs going right at 6-6, just eking into bowl eligibility. And that, the wins I have them beating CSU, Nebraska, Air Force, Arizona, UCLA, and Stanford. I think if I'm going to switch anything out, I'd switch the Nebraska W for like a Washington State or a USC. But I think 6 wins is very realistic and very reasonable for this team.
Yeah, I think 6 is definitely reasonable. I have, obviously beaten CSU, beaten Nebraska, really hoping that that's not just my CU bias coming through there. But
the black and gold glasses.
Yes, exactly. Beaten Nebraska, beaten Air Force. Beating Arizona State, I think they could beat Arizona, and then they get to that tough stretch there. I didn't have them beating Oregon, had them losing at Washington State, had them losing to USC, even though I do think that is an opportunity for them. I think they'll beat UCLA. And yeah, I had them ending up at 6-6, losing to Washington, losing to Utah, losing to Stanford. But I do think that there's definitely potential for them to beat USC or Stanford or both. But you know, it's really hard to say there.
Yeah. And this kind of leads into like the last thing we kind of want to get to is what for you at least defines whether this is a successful season or whether it's just complete failure.
You know, for me, I think ESPN had the Buffs ranked as like the 6th hardest schedule in the country or something like that. So it's hard to say that, oh, they have to have a better record than last year. I mean, they were 5-7 last year. They definitely should have been better than that, considering how that season ended. But, for me, making a bowl, I think, would be a pretty great baseline. I do think it'll be hard to do. I guess for me, a baseline for a successful season is if I can watch every game and not hate it. Because last year was a bummer, and I think that was mostly because by the end of the year, I mean, that last run of 7 games, I didn't, like, I could hardly watch, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I just feeling that as a fan, like, especially that Cal game when we started off with 2 pick sixes.
I was there.
I mean, that's right, you were there. I mean, I felt beat down as a fan. I can only imagine how these players felt.
But... yeah, I mean, that was a game for bowl eligibility, and they came out looking like they were already done.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was tough. I think for me, you know, making a bowl would be great. Outside of that, you know, if they could get, even if it's only a 5-win season, if they're playing competitive games, you know, if they're in it consistently, I think I'll be happy knowing that it's only going to get easier the next year or two with schedule wise, you know. I mean, they're going to recruit better. They're going to have more talent coming in. As much as it's going to hurt to lose Montez and probably like LaVisca and stuff, I think they'll still have good guys coming back and, you know, a couple of good quarterbacks coming in. So
I'm excited for Brendan Lewis next
year.
At
least one that I'm quite excited about. Yeah.
Right. So. I mean, I think I'm kind of on the same train of thought as you. I think I initially when Tucker was first hired, I was like, well, this, if he doesn't get to a bowl game after Mac won 5 games last year, I think that I used to think that would be a complete failure, but you know, now like I've really dug into the schedule. I think, like you said, if they can get to, if they only get 5 wins, but they're, you know, competitive and they haven't given up by the end of the year, I think that'll be something to like be proud of as at least as a fan, thinking that this team isn't going to quit. And then, you know, like you said, like, I don't think that we're going to have a top 10 schedule in terms of difficulty going into next year. So I think 5 wins, if they're competitive, is okay with me. Obviously, I'd much rather prefer a bowl, but I mean, for me, I think 6-6 is probably what they'll end up. But, you know, if they don't get hit by the injury bug, I could see this team winning 8-9 games.
Yeah, they absolutely could. I mean, like we were talking about earlier, I mean, if they, in all honesty, if they go and they run the first 5 games and they start out 5-0, which is not out of the question, you know, I mean,
right,
it's pulling off a big win against Nebraska, but that game's at home. You know, Arizona State could be a tough away game. I feel like Arizona, you could handle. If they start out 5-0, I'm probably going to readjust my what I'm going to view as successful. You know, I think having those 5 wins at that point, you're like, all right, let's get to a bowl here. You know, no more 7 straight losses. That said, I mean, I think it could be a good season. You know, they have a potential, even if they go 5-7, you know, but they beat Nebraska, or maybe they beat USC for the first time, or, you know, something like that. I think it would be good. I'm just hoping it's a fun year to watch, honestly, at this point. I feel like they could make a bowl. I'm a little nervous because I also feel like they could do as poorly as, you know, 3 wins. If
the defensive secondary gets hit by injuries, then, 3 wins, I think, is very realistic at that point.
Because really, as much as, you know, the only sure losses I feel are at Utah and, you know, probably at Oregon. I think the only really sure wins are probably CSU and Air Force, you know?
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I think right there you're 2-2 with the, you know, almost guaranteed. And then from there, you're pretty much playing a coin flip game for the other 8.
Yeah.
So
I agree. So, you know, we're hoping for a good year. You know, making a bowl would be awesome.
Yep. Yeah. So, I think that'll probably do it for this first episode. We're going to be back. Is it next week? We're going to probably do a Rocky Mountain preview.
That would be the time.
Next week, we'll do a Rocky Mountain preview, and then football season will be upon us. I know we'll probably, just because it'll be week 0. Well, if we are recording after the first game, we'll talk about maybe what Arizona State, how they looked against Hawaii, but other than that, I think I'm excited for this year. I'm excited to see what Tucker can do and how this team plays under him.
Yeah, agreed. I think it's shaping up to be a pretty good year, and I'm excited. I'm excited to see what the future holds.
Yeah, hopefully we can have a potential Heisman at least invite with Visca just popping off this year. But we'll be back next week.
All right. Thank you, everybody.